This is Jen Lilly, and you're listening to The Positive Psychology of Pop Music.
Hey everybody, I'm Wesley Ryan, and you are indeed listening to a brand new episode of The Positive Psychology of Pop Music. Now, this is not just a brand new episode, it's my special holiday episode. And anyone who knows me is probably stunned that it took me to the 93rd episode of the show to do a holiday special. And that is because I absolutely love Christmas. Judge me all you want, but my tree goes up the 1st of November, I'm usually done shopping by Thanksgiving, and you will hear an onslaught of holiday music coming from every place that you find me for a solid 2 months, maybe more. And when I finally decided to do a holiday episode, I knew I wanted to talk to someone who loved Christmas as much as I do. And trust me, that's not a lot of people. Luckily, one of my favorite people in the world immediately came to mind and agreed to do the show. And she doesn't just love Christmas, she embodies Christmas. And that person, my friends, is Jen Lilly. You may know her best as Teresa Donovan from Days of Our Lives, and over the next hour, we'll be getting details about her return to that show. She'll share some of her favorite Christmas memories, and most importantly, we'll talk about her family's personal experience with foster care and a slew of ways you can get involved to not only help foster children in our own country, but to have a positive influence on children all over the world. But since this is a music show, I do need to start off with a couple of my favorite tracks from Jen's Christmas album, Tinsel Time, which you can grab at jenlilly.com right now. I want to kick things off with my absolute favorite track from that album, and here's how you know how much I love it. I like Jen's version of the song you're about to hear better than Madonna's. And better than Madonna is a phrase I almost never say, but I stand by it, and I suspect you may too, as we check out Jen Lilly with Santa Baby.
Santa Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa Baby.
Yeah, great jingle jingle, let's go mix and mingle. Tinsel time is here again. Tinsel time is here again.
You just heard Tinsel Time, the title track from Jen Lilly's Christmas album, available now at jenlilly.com. We will be talking about all things Christmas in the next hour, but since I literally spoke with Jen just a couple of days after her return to Days of Our Lives was announced, I was bursting at the seams to find out where she and her character Teresa Donovan were headed. What I didn't know is she would unintentionally inspire a brand new weight loss plan, which I'm actually kind of excited about.
Hey, Wesley Ryan, it's Jen Lilly. How are you?
I'm great, Jen Lilly. How are you?
Very good. A little congested, so sorry, I sound like a Muppet.
Oh, no. Well, I love Muppets, so that's okay.
Perfect.
Well, it's been a hot minute since I've talked to you. How was life?
Yeah, I've been good. I'm foster mom now, which is a big change, so it's awesome.
I definitely want to talk about the fostering and all things Christmas, but I have to take a second and celebrate that you're back on Days of Our Lives, yes?
Yeah, I am.
I know you can't say too much, but can you talk about...
I can't say anything.
Nothing?
I can't say anything. Other than people will need tissues. I can say that. I mean, I literally, my nose is like, you can hear that I'm congested, but my nose is so red because every single scene, I'm like, I'm going to need another tissue before we do this one. Otherwise, there's going to be snot in the scene. but what I loved most about being back is just the people, you know? I love my co-stars and I love the crew. And it was so fun when I first came back. I'm really glad they announced it because I'm already wearing my ugly Christmas sweaters. Every day I have a different one. And they're like, Betty Crocker's back. That's what they call me. So I've been bringing baked goods. So it's just been like fun to come in, especially around the holidays, even though we're shooting May and June, you know, it's just been nice to come in and like boost the morale, you know, and see old faces. So I'm loving it.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see you. Although I went through all of my tissues when you left Days of Our Lives, so I don't have any more to use.
Oh my God. I know. I mean, that's what's been keeping me crying in these scenes is just like the stakes at which she left, you know, and just the unraveling of it. It's like, oh God, it's brutal. So it's good. You know, I'm losing weight before the holidays. I'm just like so stressed and the emotions. I'm like literally force feeding myself, but I'm like, it's fine because I know I'm going to eat like a beast when Christmas comes around, as we all do. You know, it's like the season of cookies, perpetual cookies.
I think you've just inspired my new holiday diet of pretending like I'm addicted to drugs to help my boyfriend slash father of my child. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Well, I'm excited to see how that plays out, but love talking about Christmas with you, because the last time we spoke, we reminisced about growing up in the mountains of Virginia during Christmas time.
Yes, so beautiful. It's already been snowing there. It's insane. I went back in October. There was some snow on the ground. I was like, what is happening?
Well, I'm jealous. My parents actually moved down to Florida, so I now don't have any family in that part of Virginia. So
that's so sad. But Florida's amazing. I mean, it's like being in LA for Christmas. Can we complain, you know?
We can.
So,
we
like,
probably
should. Let it be cold enough that I can wear one of my ugly sweaters.
Well, I'm wearing like my Christmas sweaters and coats. Just I refuse that it's Christmas time, so I don't care if I'm sweating.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah totally. Right there with you.
The next two Christmas tracks we're about to check out aren't sung by Jen Lilly, but they were definitely inspired by our conversation in a couple of different ways. Number one, they're from the incredible Mariah Carey, an artist who both Jen and I listened to in our youth in the mountains of Virginia, but who also has a special connection with Jen Lilly that we'll be talking about in just a little bit. And number two, the reason I chose these two particular songs is because they represent the highest of highs and the lowest of lows that aren't only experienced by some people around the holiday season, but because of some fantastic acting on Jen's part, are pretty much a regular mood swing experience with her character on Days of Our Lives. So in honor of the wide range of emotions we're bound to experience with Jen's return to Days, and the multiple boxes of Kleenexes I plan to go through, let's check out a Mariah Carey back-to-back holiday emotional mood swing extravaganza with Joy to the World and Miss You Most at Christmas Time.
But then I miss you most at Christmas time. Joy to you and me.
Well, I just love Tinsel Time so much, and I read that Jingle Bells was actually used in a Mariah Carey-directed film. Is that right?
Yes, it was. That was crazy. I never anticipated that happening, you know? It's amazing, because she's Mariah Carey, and I think I was told, now, I don't know if this is true, but I was told that I was the only other female vocalist on the soundtrack other than Mariah, so that's amazing, but I mean, as you know from last time we talked, it's crazy because I started the Christmas album more as just like a silly kind of bucket list thing because I just love Christmas and I you know, it made sense to me to like, I love Christmas music, but it's turned into a whole nother thing. I'm doing a record right now with Adrian Gervitz, who recently did Andra Day, who's amazing. He did her album, Cheers to the Fall, is what the album's called. And I have a Diane Warren song, and Lauren Christie wrote some of my songs. I have Adele's band. I have Adele's 50-piece orchestra. So it's evolved into something massive, all over me loving ugly Christmas sweaters and cookies and wanting to sing Jingle Bells, you know? So it's been great. It's been life-changing, really.
That's great. Diane Warren, that's huge.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's huge. I'm constantly like, Is this real life? So like whatever that would David good David goes to the dentist, the YouTube video. Is this real life? Yeah, it's great. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's fantastic. Do you anticipate that album in the next year, maybe?
Yeah, definitely 2018. It's at the mixers now, which is insane. So I just got the first three tracks back from the mixer and I'm really excited. I mean, it's crazy. It's just insane.
It couldn't happen to a nicer person. It makes me really happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's time to check out two more tracks from Jen Lilly's Christmas album, Tinsel Time, the aforementioned Jingle Bells, and the track which has me incredibly excited for her upcoming album. That's because Jen Lilly's voice on this song is absolute perfection. Remember earlier in the show when I said I liked her version of Santa Baby's better than Madonna's? Well, check this out. I like her version of the song you're about to hear better than I like Mariah Carey's. That's right, better than Mariah Carey's. And if you listen to her voice on this track, I suspect you'll be just as excited to hear a whole album of songs that feature this incredible voice. This is Jen Lilly with Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, oh.
I do want to talk some about the fostering, because I just think that's so beautiful too. Tell me a little bit about what led to your decision to do that and what that's been like for you.
Whew, it's a loaded question and I love it. There are so many reasons I got involved with foster care. You know, I used to watch the news and I would just get so overwhelmed at all the darkness going on in our world and all the tension going on in our country and just all over the place. And I would get anxiety because I'd feel like, oh my God, the world's imploding. You know, there's nothing we can do. What's going on? You know, I would just get anxious over all the horrible news. And so finally, I kind of stepped back and I said, okay, well, what can I do? You know, I can't save the world. I can't. But what can I do? You know, there's an amazing quote by Mother Teresa that, like, I try to live by. I find it so encouraging where she says, do small things with great love. I am not in the slightest comparing myself to Mother Teresa, but it's such an encouraging quote. You know, it's like, that's true. Like, if we all did something kind, it still does make an impact. So I started researching, what can I make a difference in? And I started researching, you know, the issues and the social issues that face this country in the United States. And I realized that the foster care system, in my opinion and in my research, is truly the most broken down system we have. I mean, it's like the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and the foster care system started with great intentions, but it's such a mess. And so I decided to get involved. For anyone who doesn't know me, I'm a total nerd. Like, I studied science at the University of Virginia. I don't really know how I got into acting, but I love facts and I love numbers, and I am very anal retentive about the facts that I say being true. So I've done a lot of research on this. 90% of all human trafficking victims in this country, 80% of our inmates, whether it's jail or prison, and 50% of our homeless population all were involved with foster care as children. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And it's because these kids don't have parents. They don't have any grounding. They don't have discipline. You know, no one instills in them either a sense of right and wrong or also value. You know, they don't know that their life has value. So what happens is these young girls and boys, but it really happens to the girls a lot, they go from abuse and neglect in their home. They're removed. They're put into foster care. And because the foster system is so broken and there's so many loopholes, they get involved with these horrible foster homes that are doing it for the money. And you do get a very small monthly stipend. And it helps, but people have found loopholes in order to rig the system, you know, and they do it for the money, because you can end up making like crazy money if you collect enough kids and you get on welfare and all these things. So they get abused and neglected by their family, into abuse and neglect by strangers. And then over time, a lot of them run away and they get picked up by a pimp who's promising them, you know, security and promising them value. And so they go into child prostitution and then they get trafficked. Or with crimes, what happens is they just keep getting kicked out of their foster homes because they want to be evicted on their own terms, because they've had so much pain and they've had so much hatred that they try to make families hate them, because all they can control is how you feel about them. And they're so afraid that the foster home is going to abuse them that they lash out. And how the foster system works is, if you get kicked out of enough foster homes, you will get escalated to juvenile hall. So they get transferred to juvenile hall. This is where the prisoners come in. In juvenile hall, as soon as they age out of the system at 18 and they're released, they don't have any sense of life and how it works. No one has ever parented them. And so what they do is they get a gun or spray paint, whatever. A lot of them go into like a 7-Eleven with a gun, no intention of ever harming anybody, and they try to very poorly rob the store because they have every intention of getting caught, because to them, going to prison and having a hot and a cot, and at least they know how to work the jail system, you know, they know the socioeconomics of how to work that culture, is comforting to them. So they commit a crime just to go to jail. And then with homelessness, it's because they age out of the system at 18. No one adopts them. You know, after they're about, gosh, 6 or 7, people don't want them. And so they age out of the system and then they become homeless because they didn't have schooling. They weren't equipped. Some of them don't even know how to read. You know, they're not equipped for life. So they just submit to homelessness. So it's a really broken system. And I got involved to not only make an impact, but I'm doing the best I can to try to learn the ins and outs of the system and, you know, where are the flaws and what can people do to fix it, because there's a lot of red tape. And so I'm trying to eventually change legislation on it. Now, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. So here's the encouraging fact, and this is so exciting to me, and I fully intend to tour churches nationally. That's like a goal I have with my husband. And we're just talking about the Christian church. So, I mean, if you go ahead and add in Buddhism and the Jewish people and Muslims and what have you, who all have good moral codes, here's the encouraging stat. If we're just talking about the Christian church, if one household out of every three churches fostered a child in the United States, there would be no more foster children or orphans or homeless kids left in the United States. And there would be thousands of homes that were licensed and certified that are already open for when the next case pops up. So it is a very solvable problem. I mean, one family out of every three churches, that's such a digestible number. And then if you did that, you'd be able to lift the burden from social workers who are just inundated with not only the abuse and neglect from parents, but now they're dealing with the abuse and neglect from foster homes, and you're making a huge impact on the economy of our country. I mean, if human trafficking and homelessness and our jails weren't overcrowded, I mean, God, it'd be amazing. So that's why I got involved.
Well, you know, I appreciate that so much on so many levels. You know, this is the time of year, I think, where sometimes we get caught up in material wants. And then, you know, lately I'm guilty of complaining about politics and a lot of things that really matter to me. But, you know, just looking at my life, I'm so fortunate in so many ways. And there are people who have not been given a fair shake. So I appreciate, you know, the factual information, too, to paint the picture of why it's necessary and how solvable it actually could be.
I absolutely love watching Jen Lilly, the actress, and I love listening to Jen Lilly, the singer. But more than anything, I am inspired by Jen Lilly, the person. She has literally dedicated her life to not only having the biggest positive impact she can, but to truly doing the research and providing widespread education to inspire others to do whatever they can to have a positive impact on the world around them. I love the quote she shared from Mother Teresa, and if I have to think about a pop song that has the same message, and that fits in nicely with this holiday episode, it's another track from Mariah Carey. Now, it's not from her Merry Christmas album. It's actually from her debut record. It's a lesser-known track, but quite frankly, I think it's her most important. With all of the negativity going on in the world around us, and so many of us feeling powerless to change the world, we can all step back, take a breath, and just find ways to have a positive impact in our daily lives wherever we can. My chats over the last few years with Jen Lilly have done that for me, and so many others, and the track you're about to hear has been doing it for almost three decades. This is Mariah Carey with There's Got to Be a Way.
Talk to me a little bit about the personal reward of interacting with these kids, because I think a lot of people themselves could benefit from that experience.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, it's amazing. So I've mentored a lot of children who come out of Child Help, which is the leading organization in the United States against child abuse, neglect, and prevention. They're also a foster family and adoption agency. And so I've gotten certified through them. And my foster son, I've had him since he was 4 months old. He's 19 months old now. So, yeah, he's the love of my life. I mean, when I first got him, I wanted a child that was elementary school age because, as you know, my schedule is insane, and I'm always doing way too many things, and I don't have an assistant, you know, and I don't have a housekeeper, and I don't have a personal chef. I don't have any help. So I just never sleep. I just drink a lot of coffee and do a lot of praying. So anyways, they asked me to take a baby, and I said, no. Like, no, I'm not taking a baby because I know how much work that is. And then they called me back and they said, you know, if we can get a family to take this kid for 3 days, will you consider taking this kid? And I was like, okay, fine. So I like put together this ridiculous registry last minute, got my car seat, my crib, everything. You know, he moves into a room that's decorated for an 8-year-old girl. And I was so frustrated at first, but then what I've learned is that everything researchers say, everything scientists say about the first 5 years of life being where you're really forming who that person is. Yeah. I mean, it's the building blocks for your entire life. It does happen then. So I started to get over the fact that what I wanted was to talk to a child who could cognitively understand me and say, you know, you've been told this, but you're not this, you know, correct wrongs, like instill worth in them. But instead, I have this like blank slate. But it's been just beautiful. And I've just learned so much that it's such a pivotal age. And the other thing I've learned is that babies in our country, they're the highest need for foster care now. And I was like, how can that be? Everybody wants a baby. Babies are adorable. And it's higher need than teenagers. Teenagers are the second demographic for obvious reasons. They're very hard to deal with. And then if they don't have upbringing, it's even harder, right? But babies is because there's liability. Because even if he gets a bruise, you know, I have to take a photo and report it. And people are too afraid that they're going to, like, go to jail or something. But that's not the case. I mean, if you report it and you have a logical story, then, and you have a good relationship with your social worker and your house is clean and you take care of that child and you love the child like he or she is your own, they're obviously going to say, right, every single toddler has a bruise. Like, every single toddler does. Because they're just clumsy and they, like, run into things. And I have bruises all over my legs from playing trains on my wood floor with him, you know? So it's just, it's been rewarding because children are always rewarding. And then with the older children that I've mentored who, God, have been through hell and back, you know, they are a lot more difficult to foster. I have one of them who I just wanted to adopt with all my heart and it didn't work out, but she is able to spend some holidays with us and stuff. And gosh, there have been times where I've had to straitjacket her with my own body because otherwise she would hurt herself because they try to punish themselves. And that is really hard to watch. It's like heartbreaking, but at the same time, when you can calm them down and talk them off the ledge, you know, and I just hold her with my body, and it's something they train you to do. In foster care training, you hold them with your body. And I just kept saying, like, very calmly, like, I love you, you're okay, you know, you're safe, like, you're okay, you need to calm down. But it's difficult. I mean, when it ends, it's like you just want to sit there and cry, but you can't. So you do, once they go to bed, then you're just like a bawling mess, you know, like, how is this child wrecked over spilled milk? But it's because they've been through abuse. So that's really hard, but it's also really rewarding because you know that you're undoing this ridiculous fear that they have, you know. I remember she came over last year and she broke a Christmas ornament of mine. Whenever this little girl breaks something because she's been so abused, like, breaks down to tears, like the best soap opera scene you've ever seen. Instantaneous tears. I mean, she's just a mess. And I was like, hey, and she's like, I can't believe I broke your ornaments. I'm like, now you're gonna love me. You're not gonna love me. And because that's what they've been told. And I said, hey, and I've done this to her several times over anything. And I said, whoa, like, are you broken? And she was like, what? And I'm like, are you broken? Did you break? Did you get cut? She's like, no. I'm like, that's okay. Do you know how many ornaments I've broken? Oh my gosh, why do you think I have so many? And plus, every time you break an ornament, it just means I get to go buy a new one. So, you know, it's fine. But it's rewarding in that because you're teaching them, like, things aren't as important as you because you have value. So it is really awesome. You know, it's hard, but it's totally pays off. But that's kids, you know. Every parent says that. Every mentor says that. Like, God, it's hard. All kids are hard, but it's amazing. You know, it's worth it.
You know, I'm teaching a psychology course right now, and we just talked about mental illness, and I had them write down thoughts that they'd had that, you know, were concerning to them, and they were all anonymous, but they could share if they wanted to. And I said, you know, come by and talk to me if you need anything. And it was like a little 1 minute speech I gave, and so many of them just sent me a message saying, thank you for showing you cared. Like, no one's ever asked me about that before.
Isn't it alarming?
It is. It's crazy. It really is.
And that's what I'm saying with Mother Teresa. It's like, yeah, do small things with great love, and it's surprising how people respond.
Where would you recommend someone go to find out more about fostering?
Go down to your local Department of Children and Family Services. You can get information there. You can go through an FFA, minuschildhelp.org. Olive Crest has an amazing FFA. That stands for Foster Family and Adoption Agency. Even just going down to your local DCFS and just saying, hey, you know, I heard about this. I just want to take an introductory class. That's all you have to do. They don't want you to foster if you don't want to, because it is a big task. My husband was really reluctant to do it at first, and I said, you know, it's fine if you don't want to do it, but you can't say no until you've gotten the information, and chances are we'll go to those classes, and I'll look at my schedule and be like, just kidding, I can't do this, and you'll be the one that's like, we're doing this, you know, and it's kind of what happened. So, yeah, they can just get information with their local Department of Children and Family Services.
Well, you know, it's also a great time of year to just donate to charities if you're able to do that.
Yeah.
I know you've been so involved with Child Help. Where would you tell someone to go who is maybe interested in finding a charity like that to donate to?
CharityNavigator.org is incredible, and it gives a breakdown of each charity's track record. It gives categories for, you know, everybody's interested in different things. And so it's just this amazing website
charitynavigator.org. You can just find what interests you. And to me, it's really important that people check out the finances. As for Christmas, gosh, I just learned about this amazing charity, worldvisiongift.org. For $25, you can donate 2 chickens to a village in Africa, and they're having the worst famine that they've ever had on record. And no one's talking about it because we're all consumed with the politics of the world right now. And so $25, you can give 2 chickens, and you can give it to somebody else, or you can give it in some the honor of someone else's name. So I think that's pretty cool. But charitynavigator.org has definitely got all the answers for people.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit about Tinseltown. It's one of the most joyous Christmas albums that I own. I mean, it really just exudes glee and happiness,
good.
Particularly the Eric Martsoff duet with Baby It's Cold Outside. I mean, that's perfection.
Yes. I mean, what a rock star. I know. I actually, you know, I'm so self-critical on my singing, but that one track with Martsoff, which is where it all started, it's still my favorite version. And that's so weird for me to say, because I normally, like, it's like watching yourself on TV. Like, you don't like it. You know what I mean? You see yourself and you're like, oh, can't watch myself. I don't want to listen to myself. But I personally think it's the best one on the radio. But I just love Eric and I in it. I don't know. Like, I'm like, I can't believe this is us. I love it for some reason. I think it's so good.
For those of you who watched Days of Our Lives or who watched Passions back in the day, you know that Eric Martsoff is not only one of the most ridiculously handsome human beings on the face of the earth. Seriously, it's absolutely ridiculous how handsome that man is. But you also know he's a fantastic actor. But if you're a longtime listener of the show, you may, like so many others, be aware of just how great of a singer he is. If you missed it, you can head to thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com to check out my interview with Eric about the music that's inspired his life and career, and check out a few of his own tracks he's released over the years. But you don't have to wait to do that, because we're going to have a little back-to-back Martsoff time right now. Before I play his delightful duet with Jen Lilly, Baby It's Cold Outside, I'm going to give Mr. Martsoff the solo stage for a few minutes as we check out his beautiful rendition of O Holy Night.
O night divine.
To be talked tomorrow.
Lifelong
At
sorrow.
Least there will be plenty implied.
If you got pneumonia and
I really can't stay.
Get over that old house.
Baby, it's cold. Baby, it's cold outside.
This is Jen Lilly, and you're listening to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music.
I'm so excited, like ridiculously excited for the new album.
Oh my gosh, me too.
But
me too.
Tinseltime 2, that rolls off the tongue, just saying.
No.
No?
That's amazing. No, different music producer, different everything. I don't know what it's going to be called.
Oh no, I wasn't suggesting that you call this one Tinseltime 2.
Oh,
I was suggesting
it. I was like, oh man, well, there's another Tinseltime song on it. It's like a 60s album. So, yeah, I do want to do further Christmas music one day. And yeah, that'd be so fun. I just, I'm a sucker for Christmas music.
As Jen Lilly is indeed one of my favorite people on the face of the earth, I am so excited for all of the well-deserved success that is headed her way. Keep your eyes peeled to NBC's Days of Our Lives for her return as Teresa Donovan. Head to JenLilly.com right now to purchase the Christmas tracks you've heard in the last hour from her album Tinseltime. And keep your eyes glued to the brand new news section of the Positive Psychology of Popmusic.com, where I'll be dropping the details of Jen's upcoming album the second I learn about them. I want to say thanks to Jen for taking the time to talk with me, but most importantly, I want to thank her for serving as a source of personal inspiration in my life and for sharing so many ways that we can all truly embody the holiday spirit and help create a better world. To learn more about how you can become involved with foster care in your community, check out your local Department of Child and Family Services. To learn more about some of Jen's favorite charities, you can head to charitynavigator.org and worldvisiongifts.org. And if you'd like to donate to the Positive Psychology of Pop Music's Shine for Susie ALS Medical Charity Fund, you can head to thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com and donate whatever you can give to help support the mother of Love and Theft's Stephen Barker Lyles as she bravely battles a terrible disease. I want to take a second and say thanks to everyone who's already donated to that charity. Stephen's music has meant the world to me over the years, and like Jen, he truly embodies what the positive psychology of pop music is all about, how we can use our gifts, our talents, and our resources to have a positive impact on those around us. So in honor of of him, and in honor of our special guest this week, Jen Lilly, I'd like to close the show with the theme song for the positive psychology of pop music. You may not find it in the Christmas section on iTunes, but I honestly can't think of a song that represents what Christmas means to me more than the one you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to this special holiday episode of the positive psychology of pop music. Thanks once again to Jen Lilly, and thanks again to Love and Theft for giving us this beautiful track. For the positive psychology of pop music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with Love Wins, this is Love and Theft.
When someone's all alone and standing on the edge, and somebody reaches out and pulls them in, love wins.